Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Before I get started, I am aware of Teresa's shenanigans, and I apologize for whatever she may have written. I would be more specific, but she forbids me to read her post. Even now, she is staring over my shoulder as I type to be sure I don't take a peek. She says, "Hello, fine friends. If you value your health, you will keep our personal correspondence between us." Lord knows what she is hiding, but I hope she didn't embarrass us too much. Although there is little more embarrassing than when I woke up, I remember nothing since I last posted. Teresa had to fill me in on what had happened, so you can imagine my shock as I woke up.
"You live?"
before I could process the words. I was tackled by Teresa in a hug so tight a python would be jealous.
"Are you all right? What do you feel? Please speak."
Teresa shook me violently with each question until I could catch enough breath to talk.
"Teresa? Why am I naked?"
Upon uttering the question, Teresa's face flushed bright red, and she scooted a couple of steps back.
"You were injured again. Terribly wounded. Fatally wounded."
Her eyes stayed focused on my face as I tried to rearrange myself in a more concealed way. I looked around for something to cover myself with, but unless I was going to hide beneath the scales or inside a wall, there was nothing to use.
"Fatally? What do you mean? I recovered, right? I am here, unless we both died and this is purgatory. In which case, it's not very fair you get clothed and I don't."
I smile at my own joke, but I see tears welling up in her eyes, and she pulls me back into her again.
"You were gone. I was so afraid that you would be gone forever. You were not healing. You were not breathing."
Her sobs into my shoulder, and I realize the gravity of the situation as I rub her back gently. I was gone. I had died? How did she... I looked down at the stone I laid upon and finally recognized the room I was in. The forge. It should have clicked with the scales, but there was no fire. Am I where the fire once blazed?
"Did you try to cremate me?" "No!"
Teresa's grip tightened into the force of a black hole, and I instantly regretted my question as I could feel fresh tears run down my back.
"I did not know what to do. You had stopped breathing and human techniques were not working. I thought since you bared my blood, maybe my soul could take purchase within you. I bathed you in my eternal flame and you accepted it, or it accepted you. I don't know which is true, but either way, you became part of me and I a part of you."
I feel Teresa's breath start to steady again as she composed herself. "You saved me again. I am at a loss for words. I owe you, Teresa, my life so many times over, I have lost count."
"Not without costs,"
she whispers. She gently lets off of me again so that she could face me.
"Your humanity. It is more likely now that you are no longer human. I do not mean an extended lifespan and increased physical attributes either. Your very being has shifted. When you were embraced by my flames, they burned away everything that was not you. Even dead parts of you that were burned away, your hair, your nails. Yet, they have regrown at an unnatural rate for a human. I have saved your face and trimmed your nails once an hour."
She raised her hand to my cheek, and I instinctively felt my own chin. There is a slight stubble there already. I had shaved this morning, and I know shaving with a knife is more difficult than a razor, but I have gotten pretty good at getting it smooth. I could feel my one short hair now touch the base of my neck.
What does this mean?
I don't know. My only explanation would be that your body is adjusting to the new power it has received. It is overflowing with energy as it adjusts.
She gets close and stares directly into my eyes.
Yet your mind and your eyes still remain yours. This is good. You should not transform wildly at the least.
Transform into what?
A Trevenir. Your new true form.
Teresa withdraws her hand and I notice her nails now ending in claws. Small scales encircle her fingers.
It is difficult to change back your form. It takes time. If you were to transform, I don't know if you would have the energy mastery over your new powers to revert back.
She looks at her own hand, and I could see the outmost layer of scales receding slowly back into her skin. So you're saying I'm a Trevenir now? How is that possible? You said that wasn't how it worked before.
It was not. None have ever done what we have before.
None have ever been unharmed by the flame before, except for others of my own kin. Our kin. You sure about this, Teresa? I stare into her eyes, and Teresa gives it a moment to thought before winding up and striking me with full force in my chest.
Ow! Shoot, Teresa! I'm not wearing any armor!
The realization dawns on me halfway through the sentence. She always told me I was not any more durable. I look up to see her eyes begin to water again.
I don't know if I made the correct choice. Please tell me, did I? I did not want to be selfish, but I grown to need you.
She was on the verge of tears again. I had never seen her so upset. It was my turn to pull Teresa back in for a hug. I think you did. I'm glad to be with you still. I don't mean to cut it so close. I'm sorry, Teresa. I won't leave you, never again. If it means even sacrificing my humanity, I will stay with you. And so for a while we did stay, just like that. Holding each other until we both felt ready to move forward again. She pulled back again and I broke the silence, thinking carefully how to word my questions so as to not upset her anymore. So how does this power thing work exactly?
Yes, that is really the best I could come up with. Our strength can be summoned upon when necessary, but the more you summon, the harder it becomes to retain your human form. Along with that, emotion can amplify our strength, but as emotions do, they can make it harder to think clearly in combat. You will want to be cautious of rage and grief. Both are powerful emotions, and if you were to get lost in them, it would take an emotion filled with more power to release you from your frenzy. When I feel myself losing control, I look upon my happy memories to regain my senses.
Happy memories. Well, I have plenty of those to rely on. I smile at her, which makes her beam back at me.
Are you confident you do? With how much you sleep, perhaps they are all dreams.
She pokes her finger into my side.
Ha ha! Well, if they're all dreams, at least they are good ones.
I stood up and Teresa braced herself around my arms in case I fell. My feet hit the floor and I stood perfectly fine.
I feel good enough to walk. Let's go upstairs and see if I can find any clothing.
At the reminder that I'm still stark naked, Teresa quickly withdraws her face to make a focused effort to keep her eyes at face level. We go up the stairs and search my bag, but I don't have anything of use. We weren't planning on spending the night camping on that fateful day, so I didn't pack a spare set of clothes. At this point, I was wishing Marcus was with us. He would have been the only one to think far enough ahead to pack an extra set of clothing, in case one of us got dirty or wet. Jason would be good to have as well. With his size, I could probably hide enough just underneath his shirt. That is, after he had enough time to laugh at me. I guess no matter how much time passes, you never really stop missing your friends.
Ah, I have an idea,
Teresa shouts, breaking me out of my thoughts. She comes running over, wrapping me in a blanket.
The village never saw a reason to send me male clothing,
but this was an immensely popular style of dressing not too long ago. It was called a toga.
She wraps the blanket tightly around me and then gives me a quick couple of tugs to make sure it was secure.
It used to be worn by nobles and leaders where I once stayed. When I moved further north, I did not see it again, however. I also enjoyed them. I do not understand why they seem to have fallen out of favor.
She steps back and admires her handiwork, as I feel just slightly less exposed. It's wonderful. Thank you, Teresa, for your quick thinking. I chuckle as I cautiously position myself to sit down. Teresa takes a seat next to me. So, back to business? What's the plan? I ask Teresa, and she looks struck completely off guard.
Plan? How am I supposed to create a plan while I worry over you?
She says with a mix of sarcasm and seriousness.
Right, well, let's come up with one then. What do you think is our best option?
We will not be able to hide much longer. The Underdwellers will be expanding their scope and search more and more as we wait. It was a miracle they have not stumbled upon my home yet.
So we have to launch our offense then. It should hopefully go a little bit longer now that you don't have to worry about me anymore, right?
I will always continue to worry over you.
Teresa grips my hand as she says this. I know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean... I stutter.
I have revived you from the brink of death twice, and the second time was a miracle that it was successful. There is nothing more that I could do to bring you back if you get harmed again. There are no more second chances. I have no further cures to stand off the Reaper.
She tightens the grip on my hand.
You must not be reckless with your life anymore. I have done all that I can. There is nothing more I can give.
Her eyes stare intensely into mine as she makes her point. I take these words to heart. After a long silence, Teresa speaks up again.
Our target before was the power plant. It is possible we still may be able to take it over. What we find there may lead us to our next point of interest.
I think about this. It seems like the only way we might be able to get some direction. Otherwise, we might just simply be running into a random area with hopes of stumbling upon the Underdwellers. If we take too long, we will get worn out. We can't fight forever, so that is our plan. We will be heading out tomorrow. If I get back, I will tell you how it went. If we don't make it back, this should send in 3 days. Much like when I began this story, I really don't know where to begin. I'm just going to tell you things as they happened from when we left. I never thought it would end like this. Teresa and I put our armor on and equipped ourselves for our offensive. Teresa insisted that I keep the shield again, and I can't argue with her. So we ran, and for the first time I experienced the true speed that Teresa can sprint. It felt almost effortless. But in under 5 minutes, we had traveled halfway to the mountain from the power plant without being spotted. I couldn't believe it. I did not realize the extent that Teresa held herself back for me. I thought I was strong with her blood, but I did not have a fraction of the strength she truly possesses. It still makes me wonder if she isn't holding back from my inexperienced self. When we reached the power plant, there was guards posted at every entrance. This is as far as we could go without causing a ruckus. Teresa and I look over at each other, and she nods in agreement. Together we strike the two Underdwellers before they could react. Their heads fall to the floor as their bodies slump over.
How were we able to do that? What about their shield? Their force field?
I whisper over to Teresa.
Their portable technology is recent, or at least recent to my knowledge. It takes time before they can mass-produce their latest inventions. Grunts like these are not worth the resources an Underdweller eyes. Now come. There's little doubt a patrol will round by here soon. We must make use of the time before we are discovered.
She opens the door for me and we slip quietly inside. Arrows point towards the different places within the building. I guess they don't want their workers getting lost. We travel down towards the boiler first. Along the way, it is eerily quiet. No Underdwellers within the building, performing maintenance or oversight of any kind. As we enter the boiler, it is empty.
The only thing of note is the odd rewiring they had performed. Pieces of their technology are graded within ours, and a stone sits as the only fuel source. It radiates the same sickly purple glow that seems to follow wherever the underdwellers touch. We back out and head towards the generator. There we see a group of 6 underdwellers setting up circuitry, seemingly trying to create a direct line between their underground base as a power plant. The only reason I could think of them doing this is that they are planning to take over and occupy the remains of my town, create their own foothold on the surface world. Hell, if I'm going to let that happen. I look over to Teresa and she gives me a nod again. Together, we were able to kill 2 of the underdwellers without resistance, but the other 4 are able and ready their weapons. They are wearing armor covered in thorns that glow the same shade as the knife that knocked Teresa out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They hiss and screech at us, spitting curses in their gravely language. At least I assume they are curses. I don't understand a thing. These underdwellers are more prepared than any of the others. Pistons attached to their arms and legs begin them much faster and stronger than I have previously fought. Here I was, thinking my newfound power was going to make this easy. But these bastards are always one step ahead. Teresa makes the first move, lunging at the underdweller to the left. Her blade nicks the skin of it before the creature deflicts the blade with force that knocks Teresa briefly out of stance. Another underdweller attempts to stab her while she is off her footing, but I rush in to parry it in time. As to my encounter, his legs filing him backwards, leaving dust in the place where sturdy concrete once stood, Teresa and I take a step back as well.
We are not able to defeat them in head-on combat. Their machines are too swift.
Teresa whispers.
How are they reacting to us in time, though? When I first saw you fight, you were nothing but a blur.
I don't know. However, it is no matter. We must fight as one. They can react to one of our attacks, yet are unable to react to both at once. If they could, they could not need to have their ally counterattack for them.
The underdwellers eyed us, waiting for us to make the next move. I take focus on their eyes and see the purple glowing from the previously milky white orbs. They have augments in their eyes as well. I think that's what is letting them react to us. It's also why they aren't attacking us right now. They need us to attack so they could react.
Keen eye, Toby. We may be able to use that if we find a way how to disable them. Let us label them by weapon. Sword, wielder. Pike, spear, mace. Understood?
What is the difference between a spear and a pike? I asked sheepishly.
Teresa signs.
Spears are shorter and usually one-handed. Pikes are longer and usually two-handed. Ready?
Got it. Ready.
Pike!
Teresa shouts as she lunges again, striking hard against the pike. The underdweller manages to block, but Teresa's attack knocks the pike wielder out of position. I ran behind it, and just as Teresa said, it was unable to react in time. My blade struck through the underdweller's body, erupting from its chest.
Spear!
This time I take initiative, throwing the body of pike and sword to misdirect before taking a stab at spear. The impact of his parry nearly sends my sword flying from my hand, but Teresa is there in under a second. Her sword runs through the spear wielder's skull, and he flops over dead. Sword and mace are huddled next to each other.
Sword!
Teresa takes the lead again, clashing against the sword of the underdweller. As I rush in to take my swing, I see a mace fast approaching my face. I barely duck out of the way, and I am forced to step back again.
Sword regains his composure as well, taking a swipe at Teresa that forces her to fall off as well.
Again, you strike first this time.
Teresa commands me.
Mace!
I take my attack, and Mace meets me with equal might. I hear a clang shortly, and I know to pull back before Mace decides to take a swing at me. Teresa and I meet him.
They have adapted our strategy. We will not be able to strike them down so long as they remain on each other's shield.
Teresa analyzes them, looking for her next opening.
Hey, do you remember Plan B?
I nudge Teresa as I glance at the concrete dust at our feet. Her eyes followed mine, and I see a faint smile form. I scoop up the dust with my boot, and I fling it in the eyes of the underdwellers. They shriek and swing wildly at the air as Teresa and I both rush to their sides and slash our preferred targets. Mace and Sword both fall, and quiet fills the air once more. We take a closer look at what the underdwellers were working on. The wires and gadgets make little sense to me, but I noticed one thing that gave me pause. A display that seemed to be changing every second, written in their unreadable language. I knew better than to think this was some simple clock. I grabbed Teresa's hand and dragged her out of the building as fast as I could run, the sound of high-pitched whistles chasing us on our way out. We reached the door before everything was set off. The ground shook beneath our feet, something even more fierce than a behemoth's tremors. From below, pillars erupt, and slowly the ground started to sink inside. Whatever they were doing here, we were too late. Before my eyes, I watch as even the dead and desolate remains of my former life are swallowed by an oversized drill. Once the drill finishes, it flips upside down and a city is revealed. A dark city made of the blackest stone, windowless, artless, built strictly for the purpose to serve. The only light that emerges from it is the disgusting purple glow, running through the tubes all along the city. The whole place is brimming with creatures that come flooding out, including five behemoths that get to work flattening the ground area for expansion. Atop what appears to be a dark temple stands that underdweller, the first one we came into contact with. He stands mighty above his city, standing as if prepared to give a declaration. Little did I know that is exactly what was going on. From an unknown source, the underdweller's voice could be heard all around. At first, the speech played in their own language, but something was translating it to us.
My fellow monumentals, today marks a tremendous occasion, the beginning of the colonization of the surface world. Long have we feared the human race, but here I have displayed that humans can be defeated. With patience, we will claim this world. Let this be known as the beginning of an end for humanity.
A thunderous applause of screeches erupted from the city below, and the head underdweller takes the moment to soak it all in. Once the crowd settles down, he speaks again.
I hope you enjoyed my speech, dear lizard lurking these streets. Worry not, soon you will be reunited with the rest of your kin in whatever afterlife you believe in, I'm sure. If you want to make it even sooner, come out of hiding and end this fast.
Snickering can be heard from the city below. Seeing the underdwellers replacing my home with their own, threatening to take over the entire earth, and taunting carelessly as they do it, it all unleashes something I didn't realize was still lurking within me. My head runs wild. The bastards. They trample over my home, my friends' homes. Every time I think there is nothing more that they could take from these old wounds, they still find a way to tear them back open. I could feel the scales sprouting from my fingers. I grow sick of being forced to tolerate the existence of these roaches. But they just made their biggest mistake. I could feel the bone protruding from my back, trying to break free from the pressure inside my armor. They just opened up their entire civilization to my wrath. I could kill them all. I will kill them all. I will make them feel every speck of pain they have inflicted upon me.
I will.
I feel my helmet fly off my head. I spin to face my assailant, and it's Teresa. Teresa kisses me, and I feel my entire being relax.
I will take your burden. You do not listen well to my warnings, do you? It is no matter. Allow me to take your sorrow, your rage. For I know that my love for you is far greater than the suffering you have faced. My love will guide my will.
Teresa removes her armor. I see the scales appear on her as I feel my own recede. Wings erupt from her back as mine retreat back within me. All my pain has been replaced with eternal peace. As Teresa's eyes glow red. She's not just empathetic. She is an emotional conduit. Teresa glows and towers over the behemoths. Her scales are a brilliant white that reflect absolute purity, and her eyes transition back from blood red to her sparkling emerald green. With a roar, she announces to our foes, they now face the true power of the Travenir. Effortlessly, Teresa flies in a circle, cutting through each behemoth before she lands and prepares for the assault that will soon take place against her. Roars fill the air as swarms of Vrak and Wolvenir pour from the city into her direction. She spews fire, and her radiant white flames incarnate the Vrak as they try to fly towards her. With a stomp of her foot, countless Wolvenir are reduced to paste. Despite her overwhelming strength, the floods keep coming. Wolvenir began to jump and climb on her as the Vrak poke and prod her. This isn't good. She can't fend them off forever. There's so many, it seems endless. I rush to face the only thing I could think to stop this. Seemingly unfazed, the head underdweller calmly walks back inside his temple. I catch up and confront the head underdweller as he enters the deeper reaches of his temple's chamber. With my head cleared of my indiscriminate rage, and against my better judgment, I feel obligated to try and negotiate a peaceful surrender. Plenty of bad people in charge do plenty of bad things, and the consequences usually fall on the ones who lay powerless beneath them. While I will do whatever it takes to end this, I'd sleep better at night without the guilt of countless lives on my chest.
Your conquest ends here. You have one chance to surrender, and I swear that Teresa and I will spare any innocents in your city. That is the best I can offer you.
The head underdweller turns to face me.
What a surprise. Even with lizard blood in your veins, lizard scales on your body, I would never expect you to survive for so long. Tell me, does it mean that lizards do not eat their mates?
I grit my teeth.
Let's give reason one last chance. Do you not care for the innocents you lord over? Children, family? Is there anyone you care about in that city beyond yourself?
The head underdweller smirks.
Children, you think we would expose our youth to this polluted cesspool? Unlike you, human, we value our future generations. The rest of these residents are simple fodder, test subjects to see if your surface is even inhabitable. The only thing valuable in this civilization is I, Krasok, the Enlightened.
The creature raises its arms as if its name was supposed to mean something to me. At this point, I could see there is no reasoning with him. I ready myself and rush at him. The moment I make impact, I am flung back away and go crashing into a wall.
Aha! The underdweller hisses gleefully. It is all making sense now. The unusual loss of soldiers and beasts. Your extended survival. It all stems from events unforeseeable. Krasok begins to crackle to himself as I stand myself up.
You poor boy. You poor fool.
I told you this would come.
Krasok's laughter intensifies as he works himself up to the crescendo. The lizard had made you her slave at the cost of your own humanity. You are a traitor to your kind. The creature's tackles echo in the temple chamber.
Quiet, damn you. I didn't choose this. You forced it. I won't be lectured about being a traitor by a tyrant.
Tyrant? In my language, there is no such word.
Taking power by force is simply the way of life. Do you see? This is what we do. We live to conquer. We live to make creatures of war. Those who can make the strongest weapons are rightfully rewarded. There is no innocence amongst my species in the moral eyes of yours. So you think you've earned your lofty title? Krazok the Enlightened? What a joke. What about making Wolfnir or behemoths makes you enlightened? Making a child's toy like that? Nothing. I would be nothing if my greatest achievement was some mutt. If I must, allow me to show my credentials. His wrenched face twisted into a smile as he spoke. With the press of a button on his shoulder, the rumbling returned. I turned to Teresa to see the Wolfnir and Rack retreating away from her. She seems as confused as I am. The center of the city explodes, creating a deep chasm, and from the abyss rises the one thing that could have ever struck the icy chill of fear into our hearts after all Teresa and I have been through.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Her face was a mix of pain, sorrow, fear, and disgust when she laid eyes upon the reanimated remains of her fellow Travnir. Although the Travnir had long died, the rotted remains were puppeted by machinery and malice. What may have remained in the mind of the fallen was long gone. It was now just a host to the machine brain piloting its defiled corpse. Teresa wailed in agony and I wept with her. My masterpiece. And thanks to you both, I could add two fresh additions to my growing collection. Krazog gazed at his handiwork, and I used the distraction to try and end this fight. I lunged at him, but this time he pulled his weapon and deflected me. Of course, I should have known he would have an exoskeleton too. Unlike the others, he had no purple glow in his eye. Without warning, his weapon began to slash at me at a pace that I could hardly keep up with. His sword collided with my chest plate, and I could feel something shift. With his other arm, he punched my chest, knocking me down and crumbling the armor. My entire chest was now vulnerable. Krazok smirked, but did not delay. He leapt towards me and re-engaged in combat. Every piece of armor he was able to hit with his weapon grew weak and brittle. While he had not harmed me yet, I was getting more and more exposed. I did not realize he was toying with me. He tore off my armor bit by bit while he slashed away at me and I was helpless to defend myself. The other suits were clunky, nowhere near this refined. I finally had to take a risk. At this pace, he was going to kill me. I turned, sacrificing back half to my chest plate, and plunged my sword through myself. The blow was able to get past him and struck him shallowly in the gut. He recoiled, looking at his wound, then to me, eyes now filled with rage. You're clever, I'll honor you with that. Enough playing then, it's time for research. Where did I stab that girl? In a blink, he was in front of me again. I felt his knife dig into my side and all the energy drained from my body. I let go of the knife, leaving it inside me as I collapsed on my back. Let's see how much exposure it takes for the poison to properly kill from this specific wound site. You keep groaning in pain until you expire, understood? I want to witness the fruits of my labor. He steps over to look over the balcony. Teresa is still fighting off the defiled Travnir. Her fires do not faze it, and she is now blow to blow against it. I can see significant damage on the mechanical monster, but Teresa is also bleeding heavily. Even a decaying Travnir must still be strong enough to crack scales. There is no clear indication of who will give out first. I still need to end this. I need to save Teresa from that nightmare. I collect all my strength left within me to keep silent as I move the knife from my side. In agonizing pain, I manage to clench my teeth and keep quiet as I creep up behind Krazok. he mutters to himself, engrossed in the battle and his monstrosity performance. He hears the splash of my blood hitting the ground behind him, but it's too late. I fall upon him as he turns and plunge the dagger into his chest over and over. He throws me off of him, but the damage is done. I guess I'm still human after all, I gloat as I watch him gag and sputter. When he finally goes limp, I crawl my way over to his body. Looking up, the fight is going south. The damn cyborg is unaware of the damage it has taken, but Teresa's slowing down by her pain. I frantically try pressing everything on the collar, but nothing is happening. The undead monster manages to topple Teresa on her side, striking down hard on her as she is pinned. Thinking for a second, I grab the dead idiot's hand and I try using his own finger. I press multiple things until the defiled Travnir stops. Teresa wastes no moment in catching the thing's neck in her jaws and tearing its head off. She flattens the machinery underneath her claws, with a mighty roar that shakes the earth that announces her victory. She breathes her flames on the invading city, reducing the entire thing to smoldering rubble. I rush over to her as fast as I can in my weakened state, and upon seeing me, she walks over. With the great effort, she returns herself back to her human form before passing out. I catch her as she falls and wait for her to awake. Luckily, for the health of my heart, it doesn't take long for her before she opens her eyes again.
Toby, why am I naked?
She says gently with a sly grin on her face.
Huh? I had nothing to do with this.
I sputter out defensively as she giggles at me. I was so caught up in worry I hadn't even noticed.
I only tease. My clothes do not grow with me, unfortunately. However, why are you naked?
My tonga might have gotten cut by ribbons during my fight. I try to hide my embarrassment as I keep my gaze off of her.
Is it over then? Are we safe?
It is over. None of the underdwellers remains, I assured her.
Good.
She breathes a sigh of relief.
Then I not need trouble with covering myself.
Teresa pokes at my cheek, noticing I am still turned away from her.
That is, unless my feelings are unrequited,
she says in a sorrowful tone. No, that's wrong, Teresa. I love you too. I love you so much. You're the only thing that makes my world turn. The only thing I have left, but the only thing I need. I love you, and I respect you. And I just don't want to stare or be awkward because... Teresa grabs the top of my head and turns my head back towards her.
If you wish not be awkward, then look at me, you fool. Do not think I hold the same revelations. I will stare at you as long as I please. And I invite you to do the same. But currently, I would like to stare into your eyes.
She smiles that smile that makes my heart flutter with joy, the one that is both teasing and sincere. She puts her hand on my cheek as we kiss. I would like to thank all of you who had followed me along this journey, a journey I thought I would never actually survive. Although there are a few too many times I very nearly didn't. Your support has kept me sane, and kept me going when things were looking bleakest. Teresa and I plan on staying here for a while. We don't know if the underdwellers are fully gone yet. More may remain beneath our feet. And if that is the case, we will be ready. One day we may reunite with civilization. If only for a brief moment. For now, all I want is to embrace the peace we have won. This small victory before the looming war. Teresa deserves this moment to live happily. That being said, we know this isn't the only location the underdwellers exist. If your town is under attack, reach out to us. We will come running. If you hear howling from the woods, do not fight it alone. I swear to protect my kind, humankind, and Teresa has always been protecting us. Wherever, whenever we are called, we will join the fight once more. Until the howling in the woods has forever gone silent.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.